Right, we are live with, what do I always say? This is a special one. They're all special, aren't they?
Every single one's a special one.
It's a special one here. We got Dale, a.k.a. I always like butcher it, but is it?
Go for it.
Miniator.
Yeah, close enough. Miniator, whatever. Yeah.
Oh, Miniator.
A few different pronunciations, but yeah.
Like, I went for like the dinosaur kind of feel. Miniator, like, you know, like, I guess it's kind of.
It's like a Transformers name, isn't it?
Yeah.
Miniator.
I think it was the whales inspired me years ago for it, so it's stuck ever since.
All right. Miniator, if you will. Miniator, however you decide to pronounce it. Dot Turbo, though, because
yeah.
the old boy got hacked, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Ripperino. But anyways, Dale over here in Northern Ireland by our boy Ian, because we were just chatting a little bit ago. The rest of the world just says Ireland, but that's wrong. There are two different ones, so don't piss them off. Right. Which ones get more? Well, with a name like Miniator, you know, it could be. You could be. which gets more pissed if you call it like if Ireland? You like, I'm sure they're fine because everyone just says Ireland. But do Northern Ireland's get pissed if you just say Ireland?
Yes, I would say so. Yeah, definitely.
What?
It's like calling an Aussie a Kiwi, though, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. But like, what's the? Yeah, I guess so, huh? I don't know. I need to dig deeper on this history. I like started to look at it before, and I just maybe I don't want to know. I'm just gonna
rabbit holes, Mike.
Yeah, rabbit holes. Be careful, all that. Yeah, just move on.
Yeah, quickly.
Okay. All right. That's fine. I will do that. Well, Dale, I appreciate you being on. I think you are a listener of the podcast. You've been. Yes. Listening for a little bit now, and I've been drooling over your beautiful mini for a while now, so I appreciate you being on, and I would thoroughly like to hear about your mini.
Thank you. Thank you very much. As I said earlier, it's a bit surreal, to be fair, to be on the podcast, not just listening to it, but yeah.
You know, it's hard for me to like understand that, because I guess I like started it, but I can imagine if I was ever on, like, I don't know, Joe Rogan. I listen to Joe Rogan on my walks, or some of the other podcasts, I'd feel the same way. But yeah, we always say, you know, we want this to feel like just a friendly chat at a Cars and Coffee or a garage hangout, which we just did our first one the other day. Yesterday. Did you see that?
I missed it, unfortunately. But yes, I saw you asking on Instagram about it. So
it was an impromptu. Yeah, it was an impromptu one. I think we'll probably, me and Sean were just jibber jabbering about it a little bit before we hit record. We'll probably try to like announce it beforehand and mm-hmm. play around with it. It was kind of fun. We just had, at one point, I think we had six or so people on there. And
yeah. Six fun. Plus your mom.
Mom, I forgot. Mom. Mama V joined on and she said hi to everybody.
She was so sweet, bless her.
She was so scared that her video was on, and I was like, it's not on, Mom. And then she didn't understand how to turn it off, and her and my dad were bickering about something. Like, I was like, all right, Mom, I'm gonna boot you out of this.
It's all right. We had Ollie join as well, and Ollie messaged me. He was like, dude, I'm in the bath. Is my camera on?
No, it was cool though, but hopefully it'll be kind of like a segue for people that might want to be on the podcast, but maybe nervous, but it's kind of, you know, it was fun. I don't know, it was just a little jibber jabber. It was cool, so we'll try to do those a little bit more, so hopefully it'll join on one of those and tinker on it, a little more deep dive of like maybe people's minis and what they've done to it and up close and personal with the camera and stuff. So hopefully we'll jump into that. So
yeah, sounds good.
Dale, tell me, I was kind of I was trying to scroll back as far as I possibly could into your other Instagram that got hacked, you've had this car for a while, or you've had multiple Minis, but let's start. How did you get into Minis? What attracted you to them? Because it looks like you've had it for a while.
Yes, I have had it a while. I think I was about 15 whenever I got it. So,
oh, wow.
That's about 22 years now.
It's no bad going.
So it was a bit of a, it was like a project with my dad for my first car kind of thing. So to be fair, he did most of the work at the time. He's handy with the welder, so he did all that work with it. It looked a bit different. I don't know whether there's any pictures actually of it all.
I don't think there is. I've not seen any.
I didn't scroll back 22 years, so.
Oh, it hasn't been. I haven't been on Instagram 22 years. You're still taking photographs on your digital camera and then putting it on your laptop, kind of. That's why I don't have actually many pictures of it, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it had. It was kind of. I'm going to call it the Max Power scene. Oh, Sean, yes. Probably know better. That inspiration back then. So it had a. It was a Z Max copy from ABS, full kit, and it had a custom pearl blue paint job, and then it was done to a budget, to be fair. It's when you're 16, 17, just getting on the road, still at school, but yeah, it was cool. Yeah, it was cool for the time, and I only drove it maybe for about a year or so, then off to uni, didn't want to bring it with me. One thing led to another, and then it probably didn't move for a very few years. It was probably about 10 years, maybe 10 years ago, started back into it, and then decided it wanted to look like how it looks now, you know, sort of period, if you like, modifications. So but where, I don't know where the want for a Mini came from. I've no idea. I know Dad used to talk about them when he was young, but and even he's not particularly into his cars. He'll work at them, do restoration with them and whatnot, but I would be into them in a bigger way than he would. I remember doing an art project in school actually, and it was on a Minis, and he took me down to the Rover dealership when they were still selling Rovers, and there was one sitting at the Haiti Blue sitting on the wee plinth spinning. It was a Cooper 500 actually, so it was one of the very last ones with a silver roof, silver trim. It was great. The salesman wasn't too busy at the peak of the time, and I was in it and sitting in it taking photographs. It was great.
Wow.
I remember that then, but that's a long time ago now, my goodness, when you think about it. But yeah, I do remember that very well, actually.
Man, yeah. Someone else said that on the podcast one time, that they, you know, remember seeing them in the dealerships, and I was like, I didn't even think about that, because in the US they only sold them here for like 5 years, maybe. I don't know. They ended in like 1967. But damn, that would be so cool. Even if it was like one of the later models Rover ones.
Yeah.
I guess it's, maybe it wasn't, you didn't necessarily think how cool it was now, like then, but now looking back on it, that's pretty damn cool.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. Definitely, you know, into, yeah. And one of the best colors as well for the later cars. The
definitely one of the best really colors. Color
with the silver trim on it.
Dale, did you, when you were sort of growing up as a kid, did you ever used to go to dealerships as a kid and go around asking for like all the brochures of like all the new model cars and stuff? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Oh yeah.
I've got some Rover Cooper brochures actually from a Rover dealership as well. So I'll have to dig them out and ping them over to you.
I got the old Rover. Yes, I got the Rover ones at the time for the Mini and whatnot, but I remember In our town, you know, the town I grew up in was not very big, but there was a Toyota dealership at the time, and for some reason I remember having the Land Cruiser brochures. I had no idea why I had them, but for the Colorado, I remember the Colorado and the Amazon, and it was like, thinking back, you're like, my goodness, it'll go through your head, but yeah, but you're right, big stack of them.
That's fun. So was this Mini your first car?
Yep. It was.
Wow, so,
first car. So we, whenever we first, I think it's different in England, Sean, but when we first hit the roads here, we have to display an R plate, newly registered driver for a year. So that was my first car.
Is it still the same driving age though, 17?
Pulled over by the police.
Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, so you can get your provisional license when you're 16, but you can't drive legally when you're 17.
Yeah, isn't there like a sticker or something you guys have to put on your car like when you're learning?
Yeah, we got L plates.
What does it say?
L plates. Yeah.
L plates. Yeah. It sticks on the wind, you know, in the back of the window of the windscreen. But funny story at the time, whenever I passed my test and you're out with your friends cruising around the town, you know, just listening to myself saying that. But I had the R plates on, and you can appreciate, well, you can't see with the bonnet up, the size of the windscreen, and the R plate was massive. So I had it like all trimmed down to get. And I was only on the road for about maybe a week or so in the for police.
Oh no!
Blue lights. Yeah. So,
wait, so what's the R for?
Newly registered.
Oh,
so for the
gotcha.
First year. Yeah. To show you're a hazard to all other drivers.
That's so funny. We were talking about this the other day, and I said, I forget what it was. We were talking about the front lip, Sean, and I showed this one, and I was like, oh, that one would look nice if you just chopped off the front license plate bracket. And he was like, you guys can drive with the front license plate? I was like, most states probably have a law on it, but no, like rarely people get pulled over for something like that. And then you guys got to put a damn learner's permit thing in the window.
Mate,
if
we tried to drive 2 minutes down the road without a front number plate, we would get pulled over instantly.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. You really would. Yeah. And
I mean, don't get me wrong, they get pulled over here, but...
Yeah, in your first year of driving, you're limited to 45.
No way.
In Northern Ireland.
Wow, so you can't even go down a national road.
45 what? What?
Yeah.
You can't go over 45 miles
an
hour?
No, you can drive on, you know, your 60 mile an hour main roads, but you have to stick to 40.
No. Well,
you have to stick to 45.
Oh, that's crazy.
I wouldn't be able to
do
it. Wow. Yeah. No. If I'm honest, my mates and I nicknamed the R plates the rally plates.
I like that.
Wow, that's so funny.
Yep.
Wait, so the R is like another sticker in the window too, or what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's huge. I'll try and find a photograph of it or something, or scale it so you can appreciate it, like the size of it on the windscreen. Cool.
Yeah, that's really funny. Like people are like, "Oh, stay away from those."
Absolutely. Extra 10 feet distance.
Yeah, like people over here, every once in a while you'll see like a joke one where like the parents will buy one on eBay or something that says like learner or like, you know, student driver or something, but it's like fake. That's hilarious. Yeah, they don't give a shit here. You start learning it when you're 15, 16, get your license, just see you later.
That's mad. That's crazy.
It really is to think about
it's young, like, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is, because growing up in Texas, they had, for a short amount of time, I don't know if they do it anymore, but when I was learning at 15, my parents were allowed to log, teach me, be my instructor, and log all my driving hours, and I never had to, like, go into a driving school or anything, and basically, I basically took the test, and they signed off on it, which... Granted, I was really into driving, so I did study and like I practiced all the time.
Yeah,
but I could see people doing that and just signing off on it, and they're just being, chaos. You know, I can't believe it. It's kind of crazy to think about. Like 15, imagine 15. You're driving at 15.
It's scary.
Years old. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. It really is.
Because if now I remember that, how we drove when we were 17.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm 35 now, and I like get scared driving on the road with some of these maniacs. Like, imagine 15. You just didn't even think about it, I guess.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. So this was your first car. You kind of talked about a few different iterations of it.
Yeah.
So tell people kind of, I know it's sitting behind you, but those that are just listening, what did you end up ultimately go for? What made you kind of go down this path of turboing and etc.?
It just was, well, in the case of going with the turbo, it was just I'd had the car on the road for maybe what, 6 years, five, 6 years, and it's just running a 1275 A+ from a Metro originally. and it just wasn't fast enough. That is the long and short of it. Though it just, you know, it was nippy, but there's a wee bit more there, you know. And the more I was reading up, and Facebook's a terrible, Instagram as well, influence, but you know, the more I read about it, the more was, this doesn't appear to be as difficult as I would have thought it to be, you know. So this is what, 2023, so this kind of all pivots around COVID, actually, to be fair as well. But in the run up to COVID, the year before, I had started collecting like the Turbo Plenum, and I had got my hands on a Turbo and just bits and pieces, and I got a, you know, the custom made manifold, who's, I can't remember, it escapes me who makes them in England, but I got myself to fit the GT without the having to cut the bulkhead box, which was what I wanted to do. I didn't want to make any modifications to the actual car itself, if you like, to get it squeezed in. Then COVID hit, and was working from home, kind of needed something to do, so yeah, sold my mountain bike that I was big into at the time, and put all the money into this. So pretty much did it all in this garage that I'm sitting in now. So pulled the engine, made my own clutch, fitted a cross pin drive diff, yeah, broke it, took it back out again, got it fixed, then put it back in. But yeah, there's a story in that one itself. So there is a...
what broke, the diff or the engine? So, what, all of it? Horsepower or no, too much PSI?
No, this was on the first key, and it ran for about 15 seconds and then went bang and stopped, and I was like, that doesn't seem good. So the more I tried to turn it over, I put a, you know, a socket on the end of the pulley, couldn't get it to turn. I was like, oh no. So long story short, what had happened was, in my, when I had it on the engine stand and flipping the engine upside down to take the gearbox off,
right,
I didn't realize that the distributor drive slipped out of its holding.
Oh no.
And when I turned the engine back over again, it didn't go back in again. And I should have taken it out altogether. And it actually jumped out and jammed between the crank and the cam.
Oh no.
Yep. So
that's not good.
So I got that fixed. And we're,
that's
so
scary. That's
yeah,
scary.
I bet a few people have actually done that mistake as well. But it seems to be quite an easy mistake just to overlook that little bit.
You know, it wasn't even that I overlooked it or forgot about it. I just didn't even know that that was possible, that it could actually happen. But 1100,
yeah, I guess. So. Yeah, I guess if it just doesn't slot in properly. I've also heard that, because when I was rebuilding mine in my A+, it slots in pretty good. I can't imagine, but apparently, I think it's more so on the A series, not the A+. It can, like, you can miss the drive and it can fall into the gearbox. so if that happens and you had just bolted everything up, you would have to take it all apart to pull it back out. Yeah. Oh man, that'd be terrible.
Oh yeah. Well, I had, you know, back with the engine crew and lift it all back out again. And then as soon as I took the gearbox off, I was like, right, there we go.
Yeah.
There's the problem.
Oh man, that's rough. Yikes. Well, let's backtrack a little bit. I know you've told a little bit about the Mini, but what is the Mini? Like, what year, what model, what did it start out as? And
it's just a 72. That's it. Nothing's fancy. So, you know, if you watch Pony Fools and Horses, Trigger's Broom kind of a car, they've changed everything. The whole interior's changed. So whenever I took the body kit off, changed it, I wanted it to look sort of period how it would have looked, based around the 6x10 Cosmics. That was one of the first mods, if you like, that I wanted. So Group 2 Arches had to go on. So I think I actually had seen a photograph of a car in England at a show a few years beforehand that was kind of, you know, red, black roof, black arches. It had Mini lights on, but yeah, that was what I wanted, and that's pretty much what I've created here at the minute. And then custom inside, Cobra seats, the wee classics. The steering wheel from my go-kart when I was 10. Still have it. That's the original one.
Is that really?
Yeah. No way. Yeah. So
what kind of wheel is that?
I have no idea.
That's a go-kart steering
it's
wheel?
Off, so yeah, so dad's
it looks pretty big for a go-kart again, no?
So he sort of put together a go-kart for me when I was about 10 or 11 years old. Just a wee 5 horsepower, like we would call them, like a dingo cart basically. And that was the steering wheel that he had got his hands on somehow. But it turns out that the splines fitted the mini column.
Wow. So
I think it is off of Ford, but I'm not 100% sure. I've got no idea where it came from. I don't know where he turned it up.
It's a cool looking wheel.
That's pretty cool looking.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, if you ever need a new one, I heard Mountain Classic has some Mini Life 10 for 10% off.
I do like the wood rim steering wheels, to be fair. Oh, but...
Yeah. Hey, well, see, I have the wood rim right now and I love it. But then I've been seeing more and more leathers lately, and I'm like, I kind of want to just, you know, like Sean, you said you got a quick release. I just honestly need like a quick release to like just
100% all the way.
Well, yeah, for sure. Here's the thing with the Alcantara is that I tinker on my car like yesterday, and I don't wash my hands because I'm just so excited to go test drive, even though it might have nothing to do with
don't we
driving.
All?
Yeah, right. So then I'm just gonna screw the shit out of the Alcantara with a wood.
Yeah,
and
but
just
this is why when you're in the garage, you wrap it in like shrink wrap, or what do you guys call shrink wrap? Like Saran wrap or whatever it is you guys call it. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
well,
it.
Well, Saran wrap,
you know,
I think
it saves
good.
You from getting covered in oil and God knows what else.
Me? Who's doing that? Do you actually
Mate,
do that?
Do.
You do not do that.
Mate, that mountainy wheel is so fresh right now still.
It is pretty fresh. No one else does that. I don't think anyone else does that.
I haven't heard of that before.
No one's done
But I can appreciate if I had an Alcantara steering wheel, you would have to take precautions.
That's true. I would probably have like a little brush in the car and keep those all the grain
the thing is,
going
it's
the same
cleanest
way.
Part
you know?
Of my car, that's it, like ever.
Yeah, Dale, it's your interior though fresh. Looks real cool. It's like just it's just so clean. You did a good job with it. The red with the black interior. That steering wheel does look really cool. The gauge, the little gauge pods there, man. It looks real sweet.
Oh, yes. All important. Boost res and...
I was going to say, what are the gauges in there? We got...
Boost, revs, and AFR.
Oh, AFR. Nice. See, I've been trying to think. I've been thinking about doing... What kind of AFR gauge do you have? I can't quite tell in this picture,
Is it an AAM?
Oh, nice.
AAM. X gauge?
So that's how I was like, do they have one that kind of looks like the Smith gauges?
Yes, I think they do, yeah. You can change that one that I have to have a white face. Not cream, to be fair, but you can change the faces in behind it, so... You could probably make it.
Is it like an analog background with a digital fascia on it then, or?
I think it's analog like, but it has a digital, you know, red, amber, green, or green, whatever.
Yeah,
run around and then the numbers in the middle.
Yeah, actually, I found a better picture of it. It actually blends in pretty nice. It looks like it has like the digital reading in the middle, but then around the outside, it probably has like a little. Digital
the LEDs
dial.
Wasn't around. Yeah,
an LED. Yeah, I really want to do that because, like here, like over there, I feel like you guys are always like, "Oh, just take it to a rolling road and have them set up your classic mini." Like, dude, no one knows what a classic mini or an SU carb is here. So even if I found a dyno place that will willing to strap it to their dyno, they don't know how to tune the engine.
Yeah.
So I figured.
Well, I think we're lucky here. We have so many experts, even in Northern Ireland, up the road.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm so jealous.
For fun, basically.
So jealous of that. But I figured I could do one of these gauges and like road tune it, I guess. I don't know. That's basically what you do on the rolling road, right?
Yeah. I let you in the secret. Mine's never been on a rolling road yet.
But you got the gauge, so you're good.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so I started low whenever you first started driving it at 4 PSI or something like that, and you just keep going. And but no,
that steering wheel looks really period, like you said.
It's so
like
70s.
Give me the vibe.
I believe it to be a period sort of 70s-ish wheel. I think it's from a Ford, but I'll try to tell people that.
Yeah, super cool. The other thing about your car is, and I've talked about this before on the podcast, is I have these 6x10 Cosmics, and when I first, you know, I like the look of them, but I just could never, I don't know, when I saw them on cars, I just didn't love them. But yours is one of the cars that I've been like, all right, I feel like I need to refurbish mine because they look sick. And I think it has to do with like the right combo of black or brush, but yours has like, it's like almost polished. I don't know.
It's full polished. Yeah.
And it just, you know, pops.
They're gloss black and then fully polished faces. Now, if you look closely at them, they're not perfect because, you know, they're 50 years old now. There's few bumps and things. I actually have a couple sitting down beside me. I have them painted black. I need to sand them back and try and polish them back up. See if I can get a better two, if you like. But yeah, I think the polished face just sets them off. Painting them all black or all one color.
I've never liked Cosmics. And then I saw Dale's Mini. And like you said, Mike, it works so well. And it's completely changed my mind on Cosmics. It sits so nicely on it.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thank you.
It's tough because it's like I said, I like Cosmics. Like, I like the look of them, but for some reason on the car, it just like, it's hard. I think it's the depth of it because they are dished. Like you said, like,
really? Yeah, they are.
For something like, it doesn't pop, but yours does because of the polishness. I think that's,
what I was trying to do, tie it in with the car as well, is with the polished face and then the black wheel arch, the chrome strip running around.
You know,
but I think as well, which helps them a lot, you got to have the car sitting really low.
Yeah.
Like, sitting really, really down on the tire. So yeah, I would like to go a little lower, but I'm going to have to take out a big saw and start cutting tubbing arches and all sorts of things, you know, but I think the ride height makes a big difference with them, you know.
Yeah, 100%. Any Mini with a little bit bigger wheels or just simply lowered looks so much better.
Yeah, for
it
sure.
Just has to. Yeah. I think I know what I'm doing after this, though. I think I'm going to go downstairs and I'm going to inflate one of my Cosmics and I'm going to pop it on and see what it looks like.
Do it. Put it.
It's going to give me a little put motivation.
Put it next to the race car as well.
I will do that. And I have a picture of that somewhere. It was a sad day yesterday. Yep. I rolled the race car into the back of the garage so I could drive my other one more. So just is further falling into the trap of...
Once it's in.
...being stuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great paperweight.
No, I think I need to disassemble it, and I need to like refurbish like the subframes and stuff like that, and that will give me some motivation. But the big thing is it needs metal work and stuff, and I just I want somebody to do that.
I think we need to put a poll up on Instagram for it, because I really want you to keep the patina. I don't want you to paint it.
Yep. You see, our patina usually involves holes and rust and all that, you know. Your patina is actually genuine. for sure.
I actually have really thought about this long and hard. There's parts on it that have been like welded to fix some little tiny rust holes. So trying to like maybe sand that back to get that patina back, but
just leave it rough and ready.
Because I've also but I already have a car that's kind of patinaed and messed up, and like a Mark One Cooper S. That's
kind of like, I know you want to annoy the purists so much.
I do love paint. No, it has nothing. It has really nothing to do with purists. I just like I just kind of, how badass would it be if I had a fully restored race car, have hand painted livery, like it would also be cool, fully restored, patinaed race car with a hand-painted livery would also be cool. Maybe I'll do half and half.
I mean, if you look at all the Mark 1s in the world that are out and about and you see it shows and all, they're all brand new cars again.
Half of them are reshelled anyway as well.
Yeah, but that's the thing is, like, my vision is something that I don't see often. Usually they restore it back to like factory, rolled off the factory, you know, or showroom floor or whatever you want to call it. I don't want to do that for sure. It's going to be, but I don't know. We'll see. I also go back and forth because it's island blue, which I do love that color.
Yeah, great color.
But I really like that color, but I don't see it as an island blue car. It's tough. Decisions, you know? Anyways, back to Dale in his lovely car. Actually, hey, that's a great segue. How did you decide on red? Because you said yours was blue. What was the original color? I know you said it was like blue, but was that the actual original color?
I think it was like lime flower green or something you call it, which is absolutely horrible.
That weird, like, puked green?
Oh, terrible. And amazingly, British Leyland at the time matched the vinyl inside as well, and the carpet.
Nice. Like, this is such a good look.
You don't have that anymore?
No. I do. It's original door cards and stuff in it, so if you were to, like, you know, peel back the black, I just painted over them, actually, to be fair. But it's there if you... It's awful, though. It's such a bad car. I'm sorry if anybody has it, but I just cannot have it. Awful.
You should have kept something of it. You need, like, a...
Like a little stripe bit across the door card or something.
Touch of your history. just like a little accent piece.
No, definitely not. Red, I don't know. Red was, I've always liked red cars, to be fair. I'm a red car kind of guy. There's not too, you know, you don't see many red cars nowadays. But I think red on a Mini with the chrome.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of, you mean, the chrome just pops so much better with the, a deep red. So this is a more modern MG Rover color, actually. So it is MG Rover flame red, but that was the painter, his suggestion. So fair play, he did a great job with it. And then just straight gloss black roof and arches. So that's...
yeah, it looks fantastic. It's a good color. It's hard to go wrong with a red and black theme. It looks mean, but it still kind of keeps that that vintage vibe that you're going with. Selfishly, I want to know, because I've been asking people, what kind of front lip do you have?
I get asked that all the time. So that is off a Volkswagen Golf.
Knew GP. It. Yeah.
I knew it.
Mark 1.
I couldn't quite put my finger on it.
So you can get it 15 or 20 quid off eBay.
Oh, son of a bee. And how was it fitting it? Was it easy or...?
Well, there's no fittings whatsoever come with it, so I made up a couple of small aluminium brackets and a couple of holes.
All right, interesting.
Anyway, so it didn't make any difference in other couples. So. just a couple of wee aluminium brackets, and that's it. And one of the biggest talks.
So it was like
a car, to be fair.
Well, I've been really looking into front lips lately. I just, because like a black one like that, it just... you always look at the car and be like, what is different about this car? It doesn't, like, it's not like boom in your face, but
yes,
it just adds that
look.
Yeah, but it, like, it always makes you like put your, what is that? It looks so good. And I swear I heard somebody talk about Mark 1 like Golf front lips fit. And you can get them for cheap on eBay or something like that.
Yeah, let's just say, I mean, it was like £20 off eBay. Couple of wee brackets, all, you know, I had all the bits and pieces at home. The amazing bit about the Valance is, just when I turn around and look at it, as it curves up towards the arches, it actually lines up with the arch of the car, so it looks like it's, you know, exactly the right width. You don't have to shorten it or widen it or anything like that.
Yeah, I was looking, I was trying to look at this one from Japan, not the classic Minis Japan one, this other one, Camel Auto, I think it's called. But they don't ship to anywhere other than Japan, so you have to kind of like find somebody. But damn, that one fits pretty nice. I like it. Interesting. All right. Very cool. The one thing that I really noticed and that I really like about your Instagram and your car, obviously, is it seems like you drive it a lot. You know, whether that's weekend jaunts or what, but it looks like you're always kind of taking it all around Northern Ireland to cool spots down by the water, or I don't know how close you live to the coast or what, but yeah. Some epic shots. Are you just taking it on a lot of events? You just drive it a lot, or you just capture every moment that you're out?
Yeah, I would do not quite 1,500 miles a year probably in the car, but definitely more than 1,000. So it just depends. I live, 15, 20 minutes from Belfast at the foot of the Glens of Antrim. So the coast is 50 minutes, great driving roads that way. And then you can mm-hmm. go all the way up the Antrim Coast Road, Portrush, you know, up as far as that. So, yeah, anytime I'm just, you get the kids off the bed, head out for an hour. An hour will take me out onto the coast roads, all the back roads back. You've seen me comment before on Instagram on one of your stories about the hill climbs. So hill climb, Northern Ireland, I can't remember their exact title, but they've eight events every year, and I think five of them are within an hour's drive of me. One wow. is 5 minutes that direction. So some of them are great, really fantastic pieces of driving roads. Like,
are you thinking what I'm thinking, Mike?
Event in Ireland, Northern Ireland.
Well, there's a big event at the start of June.
Can you enter?
A hill climb?
Yeah.
I did look into it. Yes, you can basically enter a class which is run what you bring, kind of, you know, helmet. You know, you need just a bit of safety gear. But you know, yeah. I had a daily driver lay on, and I could have rocked up and sent it. But then I needed it for a Monday morning back to work and the kids to school and all that. So it's like, and this is a rabbit hole now that we're really starting to go down.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. That's why I always wanted to compete in like hill climbs for some reason. It's less scary going up fast. I don't know if that makes sense than going down fast. But yeah, I just think something about hill climbs. It's cool.
Yeah, they're a big event. You know, for such a small, relatively small country, they're quite well attended. You know, there's the longest in the UK is half an hour up the road, and it's a great day. You know, spectating, so it is. Plenty of cars, lots of single seaters, you know, and then your Clios and your other normal daily drivers, if you like, doing it too. It's great.
I feel like you guys do have a ton of like different grassroots automotive kind of racing over there. Like, I mean, Ian has talked about it before, and I'm pretty sure he's yeah. told me about some of these hill climbs and stuff like that. But yeah, it feels like you guys got. Yeah, auto tests and everything, but like in such a condensed area, it's just like motorsport haven. I don't know. What do you think kind of contributes to that?
I guess you're right, actually. Yeah, I mean, auto tests is well attended too here, so it is, and hill climbs. I think if you want to go further with motorsport, you need to, as we would say, you know, go over to the mainland, go over England, Scotland, Wales to really push it further than that. But certainly from a grassroots point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Why, I don't know. Is it just petrol in the veins? I don't know, something like that. Maybe. You know,
it's kind of a good topic that I haven't really ever thought about, and it could just be because the UK is a little more condensed than the United States. But I always feel like car culture, but like motorsport, is much more acceptable there, or they not praise it, I don't know what the right word is, than here. Obviously, I'm in Southern California, which has a huge automotive scene. Yeah. But in general, in the United States, I feel like a lot of people just don't give a shit about cars, like they or racing or anything like yeah. that. It's just, yeah, it's like A to B. Obviously, there's specific areas and, you know, builders and people doing that. But I feel like, you know, if I want to go do autocross just in general, I got to drive 2 hours to get to a spot. Like
I am jealous that you guys do have autocross. That sounds right up my street kind of thing, you know, mm-hmm. a course set up in a car park, for example.
Yep.
You know, that sounds, you know, you're not doing a hill climb. You're very close to the hedges either side.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I've said so many times. I want to start autocrossing because it's like I want to drive fast but not feel like I'm going to die going over the edge.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, having driven the hill climbs in the Mini, and, you know, you're able to push it on a wee bit up the country roads. You know, they're narrow, they're bumpy, and you're going, these guys are going up this and, you know, a minute.
I was literally driving a canyon road yesterday, and it's a really short, fast one, but there's some really like tight switchbacks. Elevation climbs pretty fast, and I was coming down just nice and slow. I try not to push it on the way down because there's no guardrails. And I just glanced over the edge because I haven't done it in a long time because my Mini's been down for a year, and I glanced over. I was like, dude, how do more people not die? Like, literally, like, it's right there. And you're, especially in a car like this, you're plummeting, sorry, Mom, plummeting to your death rolling in this tin can. Like, it's it's insane. That, yeah. That's why I'd much rather be with hit a cone than a boulder falling down the side of the canyon. Yeah.
I know. There must be something about maybe, I don't know, the danger in this country too, because you could probably argue that motorbike road racing is far bigger.
Isle of Man TT.
Such a big scene here. Isle of Man TT, I mean, it's just crazy. But, you know, here we have Cookstown 100, Tandragee 150, we used to have Dundrod, the Ulster Grand Prix. You have the Northwest 200. And, I mean, the Northwest 200 pulls out hundreds of thousands of people up the Portrush Coleraine direction every year. You'd argue that that's an even bigger sport here.
Yeah,
definitely. You know, some of the big names, Joey Dunlop and all. So
yeah, it's interesting to think about. I don't know. Yeah, I wonder why you guys don't have something like autocross, because I do feel like grassroots is pretty big over there. You know, you guys do the auto testing, why not have a separate class for the just autocross? It's like the same, it could be done in the same parking lot car park.
I did look at auto testing as well, to be fair, in the Mini, but I think, well, Ian might correct me on this, but I believe I can't enter because I am forced induction.
Auto testing looks really fun, but I wouldn't want to mess with it in my car. I'd want to build like a specific one for it. I wouldn't want to be ripping the e-brake and shit like that. Jamming it into reverse, know.
Convert it to hydraulic handbrake.
You've only just got your gearbox.
One up by the steering wheel.
You've only just got your gearbox sorted out, Mike.
dude, I'm babying the shit out of my gearbox right now. Well, babying it for me, maybe not for other people. Yeah, I was doing some pretty hard downshifts the other day just to test her out, you know. That's why I had to get a new gearbox, right? You know, it wasn't downshifting properly. I need to get the
any crunches. No, all good.
No, we're good. We are. Good. It's pretty butter. Like, when I was a little nervous, you know, it was brand new synchros and stuff, so I was a little nervous. It was just tight, but you know, after a few little basic drives and some power shifts, it's going in nice and buttery smooth. So, knock on wood. Wow. Well, any future plans for the Minotaur?
Nothing on the horizon, to be fair. Well, maybe the only thing would be is I do plan to go to a Roan Road at the start of this season coming up. So we'll see how we're getting on, because I know I did get it repaired, new crank, new cam and all, but effectively it's standard compression, it's standard pistons, so intercooler seems to allow, well, boost gauge is in probably 11 psi now, so and it goes pretty well at that, but it's probably not going to last forever at that, so we'll get some proper pistons for it in the future and then really turn it up. That would probably be the biggest one, you know.
What kind of compression ratio are you running? I was just chatting the other day with yesterday, Sean, with Ricky about he's trying to do a 1275 and he doesn't know if he should get new pistons to lower the compression ratio or what's it called, a compression plate or something like that, decompression plate.
Yeah, you can use a decompression plate, but probably the right way to do it probably would be to have some dish pistons.
Yeah,
you know, the Omega ones seem to be the ones to go to with the 18cc, I think they are. You know, and that'll drop the compression ratio right down into the eights. But you know, standard, you must be what, 9.4 or something like that.
Well, that's the thing. He has a high compression engine, so he's got to lower it down.
He has to. Yeah. So this would be just a standard 1275. Out of a normal metro, nothing fancy. So I reckon it's calculated up to be about 9.4. So, you know, to be fair, it makes for a really great road engine. You know, it doesn't rely heavily on the turbo to get going. You know, there is lag, but you know, it's not like it bogs down or dies at a junction or whatever. You know, it does go very well. So
interesting. What kind of when does like boost hit, like what RPM range?
Sort of around, I think it's around 2000, and then by 2.5 it's on and going.
That's not bad at all, huh?
Yeah,
interesting. Right.
Yeah, usually I'm just hanging onto the steering wheel at that point because second gear torques on a bumpy road with big 6x10s, it just you just start dancing across the road if it's anyway rough.
What do you think horsepower are you at? Horsepower, torque, do you have an idea?
We'll see what the comments say after this, but I would say probably around 120-ish, something like that.
That's enough as well.
You know, maybe a bit more. We'll see.
I think so. I'd believe that. I wouldn't bat an eye at that. I mean, that's kind of crazy for me, though. Like, I don't know how much my 1275 has. Mine's at A+, the high compression as well, so it's 10:1 with like a fast road cam in it, nothing special. Yep. And so I don't know, what is that, maybe 70 horsepower-ish? Mm-hmm. So I can't imagine like driving anything like 100+. Like, it's just I can't picture it, you know?
Yeah,
like my daily driver car probably has 120 horsepower, and it's a big bloated BMW Mini. So, like, what does that feel like?
You know, I weighed that, and when I took me out of it, it was 620 kilograms.
That's light.
Wow.
You know, so with that kind of horsepower, you know, not that I'm racing people or anything, but Mark V Golf GTI, they'll sit with them. The amount of gears.
It only weighed 620 kilos.
Mm-hmm. There's literally no sound deadening in that car whatsoever. There's a little bit under the carpet, and that's about it.
Are you shitting me? Does it have a headliner? What's your interior? Yeah. Your interior is pretty basic, but it has a headliner.
Yeah.
Really, it's that light?
Mm-hmm. I didn't think it was that light, but that's a proper weighbridge way.
Wow, interesting. Because mine has absolutely zero interior. I mean, it has a carpet and two seats. Maybe mine's that light, huh? Interesting.
It should be. It could be lighter.
Could be lighter. Five. You know, it depends how much rust you've lost too, and metal, right?
They say it's lighter than carbon fiber.
Yeah. That's awesome.
It is if it's not there.
Yeah. Man, that's cool. Awesome, man. Any other projects you got cooking besides the Mini?
I have another, I have a daily driver Corsa, which keeps me we econo box from the UK, so it keeps me busy keeping that on the road. And then I have you would know it, Mike, as a Cadillac Catera.
I don't know what a Cadillac Catera is.
So I believe they sold them around, turn of 2000 or ish or something like that. So I have a 3.2 V6 Omega as well. I
haven't seen one of those in a while.
Cadillac.
Is it manual as well?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, they're
is it manual
very
as well?
Scarce. What's that?
Nah.
No, it's an auto. So
nice.
Big auto elite.
Cop car.
No, this was not. Wow. This wasn't actually this one. This was original Vauxhall car that I went to Iso to drive home.
Jeez.
Drove it all the way home.
Comfortable driver. Wife,
so. Which was only a few hours, Mike. You know, some, you know, 400 miles. That was as far as it was.
Blink of the eye.
Drive, for us, I'm mad.
I don't know what that car is. Let's see. Cadillac began making 96 and 97. Okay.
Yeah.
Looks a little familiar. I wasn't into Cadillacs in the mid 90s.
Yeah. It was one of those, you know, General Motors ones. They rebadged them all around the world kind of thing. In Australia, I think they sold them too. But yeah.
Yeah.
They were a bit of they were the choice of the police traffic branch, shall we call them, in the 2000s. I remember them well. And if you want to go drifting or anything, they're quite choice in Northern Ireland for as well. In Ireland in general, actually.
That's one thing I love about, like... I see this on YouTube a lot, like Ireland, Northern Ireland, or whatever the insert country here that's like drifting, and like they just pulled like these old sedans out that just like you would never expect, and they're just drift monsters. So, and it's so fun.
So you wanted to get started early. It was Vauxhall Omega, Lexus IS200.
Yeah,
that's the one at the minute.
Yeah,
Toyota Twin Cam. So that's another one too, you know, but yeah, we would have called it, drifting is a strong term as well. We would have called it diffing in this country, which is if the junction's empty, you give her plenty. kind of driving, like, you know what I mean?
That is
that's good. I like that.
I'm going really country here now.
I love it, yeah. I'll translate that for you, and that's funny. Oh man.
Yeah.
Well, Dale, you want to jump into some Patty Probe questions?
Yeah, sure. Let's give it a go.
All right, let's see if I can make this hard for you.
Threaten a new one, didn't you?
I'm going to start at the bottom and work my way up. How about that? Let's do I made these for like the people that have maybe come on again, so I can give them some new questions, but I think we'll ask some of these because they're kind of fun. I haven't perfected this, so bear with me, but what is like your mini hot take of one of like maybe a big myth that you want to like a controversial opinion maybe that you would like to debunk? I gotcha.
Yeah.
Stumped him.
I guess if you, I suppose one of the ones, and this is a personal one, I suppose, with having a standard engine turbos. I mean, everybody that you spoke to on Facebook for help or whatever, or, you know, in the forums and all, no, you have to lower the compression. You don't, if you're, I'm going to say sensible, but I mean, if you do it right and don't just whack the boost up on the first go, you know, you can do it, which is, you know, I have done. The turbo's been running now for this will be the fourth year now. So, and we're still seem to be going strong. So that would be one of the ones, you know, for me that I came up against a lot. You know, there's a few there's a good Facebook group called Classic Mini Turbo and Supercharge or something like that. There's a couple of guys on that are in the same boat. In fact, you know, on open engine turbo, one of them runs a knock sensor and all that, and he actually runs something like 15 PSI through an MPI engine. But because he has the right controls in place, it works. You know, there's too many scary stories, I think, of people blowing them to smithereens. Basically.
I think that's kind of something in general. Obviously, I see it a lot in the mini community, but I'm sure it's every car community. But like, people kind of just get in their way and like, nope, you have to do this. And it's like, well, let's test it a little bit. Do you know? Obviously, we know that decompression works, obviously, but if you're, like you said, sensible with PSI and Boost, then, you know, can that not work as well? I'm not, what if I just want a casual turbo, not like a boosty boy?
Yeah, exactly. That's, you know, I know there's a limitation and I'm probably really close to it now, you know, but yeah, that would be the one that's stuck out for me, to be fair, recently.
I like that. Let's see here. Going backwards, what is the most pain in the ass job you've done on your Mini?
I would say all the normal ones. Headlining, that was hard work.
Turned
out quite well, to be fair. I'm quite proud of it, actually. Didn't turn out too wrinkled with there the help go. Of my good wife one sunny afternoon. But yeah, that's hard work, so it is. The usual ones too. The clevis pin for the pen.
We were literally talking about this yesterday, weren't we, Mike?
See?
Oh, horrendous. What a job.
I literally did it yesterday with Sean, and I videoed it for him, and he was like... I was under there with my headlamp.
I've never seen a grown man in so many different angles awful. And positions.
I know. Oh, it's nearly easier to like sit on the seat backwards and like lie underneath the steering. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, it's difficult. I did put, and this might be controversial, but here we are, Mini Life. I've seen other people do this. To be fair, I did put the little R clips in there or whatever they're called. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Instead of like the traditional kind of split pin, because it's such a pain in the ass. And I don't think on the brake, like it doesn't compress enough to like pop it out anyway. So it doesn't really like it. I don't know if that makes sense. I don't know. Who knows? I could lose my brakes or clutch at any moment. So don't do that. That is not advice, kids at home. Don't do that. Just standard, follow the Haynes manual. Anyways,
that's an awful joke.
Yeah, that's such a terrible. And the other one that I was doing, I was trying to get the little nuts off. Well, it might be we came to the conclusion yesterday that it might be easier as a right hand drive car than a left hand drive. But I was trying to get the nuts off of the master cylinders, and I was like in there but my fuel hoses are like there and all my radiator shit, and I'm just
so you're right, on the right hand side car, unless you've got the servo, there's nothing else there really to get in the way as such.
A pain.
It really was, wasn't it? Two hours later.
100% was. 100% was.
Oh yeah.
Here's one that I feel like I don't ask often, but possibly, I don't know if this is true or not. Does your Mini have a name?
No, it doesn't.
Womp, womp, womp. Do you like naming cars? Or do you think it's lame?
I find it weird, if I'm honest. I find it strange naming cars. No, I've never named any of my cars, really. It just gets affectionately the Mini, you know.
Yeah.
You don't just talk Mini. It's the Mini every time.
Yeah.
But no, I don't name cars.
Yeah. I only name certain cars. Like, not all my cars have had names. And I feel like it has to come to me, and it has to be like a special, like my Cooper S does not have a name. It has no name. And I think it's more so like when you maybe have.
Is it as simple as bonding with the car?
Kind of thing? There's some bond
with
it.
Something special to you. Yep.
Yeah. Like my other one is named Reggie Cray, after the famous Cray twin gangsters.
Yep.
Although I don't ever call it Reggie. I'm not like, hey, this is Reggie. It's like you said, it's the Mini. But you can't force it. You can't force it.
No. And then when you do force it, sometimes you're like, well, no. And then you want to change it. You know, do you know what I mean? You know, I've tried in the past years ago, and it's like, no, it's just not working.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah.
For me.
See if you can't. Yeah. If it doesn't come, it doesn't come. Just don't force it. You know. I agree. Yeah. Although on the other hand, I do. I can't think of one right now off the top of my head, but there has been some that have names that like. That's all I call the car, not my car, but somebody else's. Like it just fits so well that I want to call it by its name. I don't know. It is what it is.
Yeah, that's true.
Can't change my mind. That's my opinion, Dale. All right.
No, that's up. Welcome to the internet. It's fine. Yeah, yeah. I appreciate I'm in the minority on that point.
I don't think you are.
Because
I don't think so.
People.
I think there's more people these days that don't name a car compared to what people do name a car.
Did we do a poll on Instagram? I forget. I think we did.
We might. Yeah, we might have to do another one.
I think a lot of people did put, I do name my car, but, you know, it wasn't like drastic. Yeah. It wasn't like 99% to 1%, but yeah, I don't care. Honestly, as long as the car is running and driving, I like it. But,
that's all that matters.
Two part question. Just because I want to combine these two, is what is your favorite mini variant and what is your least favorite mini variant?
This is one I actually did think about, to be fair. My favorite is probably just the saloon, because I don't know, you seem to be able to just do so much with them. It's the one that everybody knows as well. It's the one that you kind of grew up knowing. In saying that, I do have a soft spot for a pickup, and again, Dad's influence on this one too. Whenever he was sort of dabbling in farming, he had a mini pickup to take the sheep to the market.
Cool. That's cool.
And some of the stories on that, you know, he had a wee British Racing Green pickup, and I don't know how it got up the mountain hills with a sheep trailer and sheep and everything in it, but that's whenever they were used for, you know, they were the farmer's vehicle kind of thing at the time.
So
I've always had a wee soft spot for a pickup. But no, I'd stick with the saloon as the favorite, to be fair.
I like
it's
that.
A standard.
Yeah, you can't argue that for sure. You know, the OG. Saloon, it just looks so good. Yeah, the OG. What about your favorite?
Least favorite? I suppose that the show last year, one of the mini shows last year, there was a shorty. And I was like, I'm not sure I get this at all, to be honest.
I will say that, and I'll respect all builds. I really don't care what you do,
absolutely.
But that is literally one. I agree. I just don't get it. Like, the minis are already small, and it just looks so, I don't know, just to me, it just looks weird. I don't know.
I mean,
it just looks weird.
Yeah, and there's a huge amount of work in doing it. I totally appreciate that, but.
Yeah, for the amount of work that you probably have to do on the shorty, make a damn sprint or something. Like, I feel like it's
fun. Oh, yeah, sprint.
You know what I mean?
yeah, for sure. Yeah. Or, even a moke as well is another one. We're totally the wrong climate for it, like, to be
I'd
honest.
I'd still own one of these.
By the water, though. You're by the water. Like, your pictures look like you're in a great climate for it. Look at, there's like a sunset. You're by the water here. Like, that looks like you would be in a moke, but it's probably negative 15.
It's not.
Just pose like it's the middle of summer for every picture, and then just wrap up quickly after.
What's like summer weather over there? Like, what does it get to?
Warm rain.
Warm rain.
No, it's not that bad.
It's not far off.
Yeah, it could certainly rain a lot.
It goes from freezing rain to warm rain.
Yep.
Man.
Yeah. I mean, summer. You see, to be honest, our summer weather, I would count our summer like, you know, June, July, August, I suppose. And it's seasons, you get early July, it's awful. It just. Last July, it just rained all July. It felt the best time of the year here is earlier in the year, sort of April, May, June. It started June, you know, and then the longer evenings as well. So, you know, 10:30, you're still out and it's still bright. That's the kind of, you know, that's the one for me.
Well, I'll say it again because I've said it many times. I'm staring out the window right now and it's just about 60 degrees Fahrenheit. Couple puff clouds out there, think and the I've canyons
snow,
are.
I have a snow weather warning. Calling.
Oh, dang. Yikes. Yeah, that's the tough spot. You know, California is an interesting place to live.
Yeah.
You know, we're not getting political, but, you know, things are expensive here. But
well, yeah. The weather is. Many, many years ago, I did a holiday there, and I really liked the place, to be fair.
Where'd you go? Great.
San Francisco and then north of that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's great up there. I love the Bay Area. Part three, we did too, actually. Oh, yeah. Part four of Chinwag will be my adventure back down, and I drive through that area. It's amazing. I love it up there. I want to go back up again. My aunt and uncle live up there. I obviously have some good friends up there. Actually, not obviously, because you guys haven't heard that yet, but anyways.
Spoiler.
Fair enough. But anyways, yeah, that's a great spot to go. It's awesome up there. It does get snow up there, though. So
yeah.
Yeah, which isn't bad. Usually, it's probably still warmer than... It's like
as long
warm,
as it's a proper season that can work with that, like, you know. So.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, warm snow. Yeah. Dale, we will end on the last one. I think this is a fan favorite for most people, but if you could have a drink with, or a drink with coffee, a drink, coffee, beer, tea with one mini celeb, who would it be?
Yeah, I was thinking of this one too, actually, in the run up to the show, and I was really stumped, to be fair. So, however, I did watch a video from the Goodwood YouTube channel last night of Nick Swift.
Good choice.
Whenever you were younger, he was the one hooting it around Goodwood and the minis, challenging the alphas and everything. And he just seems such a he just seems such a character, even in the car, but even on the video, he was a character too, you know, where he started, his dad started the business and all, and I think he'd have a great yarn or two with you. He really would.
That's a good one. I don't know if we've had somebody say Nick Swift yet. Maybe once or twice, I don't know, but that is a really good one for like you said, he seems like such a great guy, fun, but also very knowledgeable. So
really knowledgeable. Runs the business, knows the business.
Yeah.
Can race a car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of Nick Swift, we need to have him, or we need to email him again, see if we can get him on. I know he was busy with his race season.
I'm dying to chat to him.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll look forward to that one too.
Yeah.
I'll pour an extra large whiskey for that one in there. That'll be close enough.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. All right, everybody, go check out miniator.turbo on Instagram. Beautiful pictures. Dale's a good guy. Go follow him. Check out his build. See what's coming up next on him. Sean, anything else that people need to know?
Not that I'm aware of, apart from Dale. I think I'm hoping to see you and Ian in June, I believe. I'm going to try.
Are you coming over?
Yeah, so hopefully I will see you there.
Great. I had tickets booked and all, so. I got the tickets booked when they released them there the other day, actually. Because if I don't do it at the time, I'll just forget.
That's the point. I need to order mine. That's what I'm doing straight after this.
No, that'd be great. That'd
hopefully,
be great.
We'll... Yeah, definitely. Podcast on the road. That's what Ian and I have sort of been speaking about. So, yeah, fingers crossed we can make it work.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, yeah, that's our goal, Dale, is this year to try to do some more like events and, have Mini Life go there and chit chat it up or report on it, do a little recap episodes, things like that. So, get out there in the community because that's kind of what it's all about, right? The community. So,
yeah, super.
All right. Well, guys, thank you, Dale, for being on. We appreciate you, and I will catch you guys on the next one.
See you later.